Jolene Johannes, going back those memories to 1984, and Kyle Gilsine. One of the things that always struck me is kind of funny in this building is you would go on the air at 5, and I don't know exactly what time you would get in here, but one of the things we always understood is you would get in here early because it was nice and quiet, because there was a very distinct sound coming up those stairs every single morning with Mike, wasn't there?
And once that kind of broke the silence, you know, I'd get in here about 4, make coffee, start pulling stuff together or whatever, and Mike would be trudging up probably 4:30-ish or whatever, and all of a sudden we're yelling at the computer because the computer won't work, or we can't, the printer isn't working, and things like that. I was always, you know, always a little bit afraid that I crack my mic at 5:05 or whatever it was, that Mike is down the hall yelling expletives and they're showing up, and our poor little old ladies that were listening to K-Watt in the morning were like, ah! But, yeah.
He'd give our equipment a good tongue-lashing almost every morning.
Almost every day.
Yep. Take the weekend off. I need you to work right now.
Right.
That was one, and then computers.
You did it yesterday. Yep. You did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Why can't you do it today?
Oh, no, you're not going to do that to me. Not today.
Corey, I wanted to ask you, because you know, I've said for a long time, long before there were same-sex marriages, there was Mike and Dan. And because, I mean, those two were a couple. You know, those two were a couple. And when Dan left, you know, there's a broken relationship there. And then all of a sudden, you come in as the, you know, the young guy that, you know, hot shot out of Montana. You know, what was it like those first few days working with Mike?
Well, I remember a few things from especially that first day. One was, Dan, you brought up Rick Youngbauer. Rick said something on the air. Uh-huh. That if any of us would have said on the air, we would all have been fired by the end of the day. So I was like, well, this is okay. So this is what I'm getting into. This will be exciting. I remember coming up for when I interviewed here. I actually was on vacation from my Montana job, and I came up here, and I think everyone else was pretty much out of the building. And Rick kind of given the rundown of who was in the building, and maybe Kyle was here, and Rick said, you know, Kyle, he just kind of, that's his spot. That Mike's gone, but if Mike was here, you would know he was here. And nobody warned me about was that I teased it before. All Mike really wanted was to just be ribbed. He just wanted you to if he wanted to throw punches, and he wanted you to throw punches back at him. And once I figured that out, super, super easy to work with. But there is that, as you guys know, there was a very specific way that morning show was going to go each and every single day. Mm-hmm. And I kind of needed to learn where those train tracks were set. Yep. Before I could put the penny down and see if I could rattle the caboose a little bit.
Because,
you know?
if he had a card that he wanted to use that day, he was going to use it at some point.
Exactly.
And you have to get out of the way, because I'm going to use it now.
He was a master at preparing for his show.
Yes.
And he intended to go from beginning to end the way he had laid it out. And you could try to get in his way, but he'd circle back and he'd make the point or make the joke or he was very good at completing what he started.
I remember actually it was a huge like source of pride for me, because I remember the first time I derailed him. I just couldn't get him off of his off the track, so to speak, and he was talking about going down to watch Twins games with his brother, and we're joking about you know, buying beers at the game or whatever, and he goes, oh no, we don't drink at the we're not drinking, that's too expensive. So we'd go out, we'll find a place to eat before. And then I asked him if the place that he went was Augie's, and if you know what Augie's is, I don't need to elaborate. And if you don't know what Augie's is, I'm not going to elaborate.
Sure, with you, yeah.
And that was the first time I ever like threw him off, because he, of course, knew what Augie's was right away. And it's a certain sort of establishment, I guess. And I was really, really proud of that, because he was stalwart. You couldn't knock him otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. His preparation was second to nobody. I mean, he could have worked a major market anywhere, in my opinion.
And mine was flying in the seat of my pants. I think that's why we got along so good together, because I was bouncing off the walls and shooting from every direction, and he was marching to the tune that he had decided to march to.
But he would, you know, when he stomped up those stairs and you could hear him coming, and he'd go in and get Carl's weather out of the back room, and he had a routine every morning. But when he went on the air at around that 5:30-ish, 5:40 mark, from that moment on until 10 o'clock, it was perfection. And at 10 o'clock, the next day started right then and there. Yeah. And then he would start his prep work in the back room, and he had everything lined up. And I always thought, just in observing, you know, from over the years, it, regardless of who was in this room where we're at right now, whether it was Dan or Rick maybe filling in, or if, myself, I had an opportunity to step in and work this side of it as well, or Corey, whoever it was, Mike carried the bulk of the work for that individual. I mean, and it worked, and the chemistry that was created is 100% due to the effort that Mike brought every single day. And not only the work week, but he would go through the logs with a fine-tooth comb. Every ad, for every break, for every hour of the day, he would single-handedly, manually go through those breaks and set them up, whether it was Monday through Friday or Saturday through Sunday.
He worked very hard to make it sound smooth and easy.
Yes, yep. Yeah.
One of the things he really enjoyed was free food, and
I'm guessing someone named Dale is coming up next.
Someone named Dale is coming up with our next memory.
Speaking, is there food?
Kenny Chesney, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Must be at the lake this weekend, enjoying the water, enjoying, well, maybe not the sun, but maybe grilling out. 20 billion hot dogs are eaten a year. A new survey found that 43% of people, 4 in 10, are too scared to find out what's in a hot dog. Hormel did this survey. They found that women are more afraid of hot dog ingredients than men. Of course, guys will eat anything. 50% of women, 37% of guys afraid to find out what's in a hot dog. Millennials, least likely to eat hot dogs. So 24% say they never buy a hot dog. Millennials, 24%, 1 in 4. The survey also found that 33% of Americans avoid hot dogs because they think they're made with low-quality meat. And when it comes to eating a hot dog, 61% of people prefer mustard.
Well, Mike and I kind of came to town about the same time. I think it was the spring of 84. We both kind of showed up here. So we got to be kind of friends, I guess, maybe because we were just new guys in town. But over the years, we ended up, we did a lot of snowmobiling together. And it was always kind of a nice little break when I'd look up for mowing lawn and Mike would be on his 10-speed bicycle on the road waiting to talk. So there was always a 20-minute conversation I always kind of looked forward to. So, but yeah, that's kind of how we met. And I don't know if it's good or bad, if I'm famous or infamous as the Grumpy Cook, but Mike gave me that handle. When we first moved here, we had a very small restaurant, and we had a very small griddle to work on, or a flat top. And it was an electric one, so it was low recovery time. And hash browns used to take a lot longer than they do now. So when I used to get a lot of hash browns order, I tended to get a little crabby. And believe it or not, he'd always poke his head back there and see what I was doing. And most of the time I was grumpy because I was doing hash browns. So that's where he started calling me the Grumpy Cook right there.
Dale Solge, the Boondocks, right downstairs. That would be one of his things that he loved to say is his favorite four-letter F word was free. Mm-hmm. He just loved that. I mean, Brad, that Mike known for a lot of things, and one of those things was, man, did he, it's not that he had a catchphrase. It's that he had catchphrases that were just on repeat all the time. By the way, go Skippers, go, and fight on to victory.
All right. Yeah. Well, he, you know, I was just thinking here, especially over the last month, you know, just some of the different things that he would say. I remember one, we'd be working together, and he had me trained to this, where he would just call my name, and he'd say, well, today's payday, and what do we do on payday, Brad? And, because what did Dad always say? And you probably have heard this. I know everybody up here has heard it. Dad always said, when you get paid on payday, the first thing you do is what? You go buy groceries. Because, exactly, he says, because it's hell to be broke, but it's hell to be broke and hungry at the same time. But different things like that. And then I was also thinking about the relationship he had with his brother, Pat, who passed a couple years ago probably by now. But Pat lived in this community for a while, lived with Mike and worked in town here and stuff. But and Dan Lawson, you can allude to this as well. And I was able to get to be part of that NASCAR fantasy group. And I didn't know anything about it. You know, I just, you know, I knew, I basically knew who Dale Earnhardt was and that kind of thing. But Mike kind of coached me up on getting involved. But the smack talking that went on in that league, but then also the rivalry between Mike and Pat with the dirty sock, with the who these dirty sock thing, and they would, you know, put a dirty sock somewhere along the way, and if you guys were happen to be going to a race or whatever. But the one thing that I remember him saying to me one time was, we were arguing about something or another, and he said, if you're not careful, he said, I'm going to put the Cockatoo Mashi Boo Jinx on you. And I'm like, what in the world is the Cockatoo Mashi Boo Jinx? And it happened to be an actual thing that happened when those boys were growing up in Minnetonka, on some neighbor kids that would come over and put this jinx on these guys. And when I was talking to Nikki the other day, she said actually she was talking to her to Kellen, Mike's younger brother, and said that was supposed to be the code word, that if something ever happened between those brothers, that was going to be code for there's an emergency or something. Or the other thing as well, talking about catchphrases, him and I were, you know, politically, we were as far apart as you can be, different things like that. We'd talk smack with sports and different things, or what we were doing here, who's covering what, you know, weather, that kind of thing. And he looked at me one time and he said, to heck with you, you're getting the Mama Hicks wave. And I'm like, what is the Mama Hicks wave? Well, that's the grandmother, I believe, right? And he said, actually, he came back and he said, I'm actually so upset with you, you're getting the double Mama Hicks wave.
That's a famous phrase in the family with those boys. A lot of that stuff I remember pretty clearly. You know, I'm the oldest from the oldest, so his younger siblings are not that much older than I am.
Right.
You know, anywhere from, I think Kel's 15 years older than I am.
Okay.
So, you know, they were still kids when I was a kid, really. So a lot of that stuff I was involved in when I was younger. You know, so you kind of soak that up. It's almost like I'm the next little brother down the line,
right?
You know, just because of the age that I was at,
right?
But he would. I remember many times he told me I was out of touch, you know. But he would study things and learn things, and
yep.
I wasn't. I was flying by the seat of my pants, and he'd just tell me, "You're out of touch. How can you even live in this community?" You know, things like that.
Aren't you afraid about getting eaten alive by a wild animal riding your bike to work?
Yeah. No, I'm not. That's why I'm riding my bike.
Right.
You guys, we have one more highlight, one more memory we need to share. And then, Sam, I want to get your perspective on a few things. But let's check in on one more highlight, shall we?
Here's one of my favorites of the year, so you know it has to be good.
This is going to be really good.
In Miami, at the St. Thomas Aquinas High School, 27-year-old Kendrick Freeman entered school grounds last Thursday, found an empty classroom and took a teacher's purse, and then ran out of the classroom to try and escape. He headed for the open football field, where he was spotted by the football team. Run!
Faster!
Yeah, the football team chased after him.
including one of the coaches who you know well, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jason Taylor.
Oh, my gosh.
When Jason was chasing the quarterback. Oh, wait a minute. I think we've got a clip of what happened.
Okay, now Fields going to run with it. No, he doesn't get away from Jason Taylor.
Gosh.
That was the actual play-by-play.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll never forget Mike giving me a hard time. And the biggest memory that sticks out in my mind is when I brought candy to the Farm and Home show and it just wasn't quite up to his standards. He gave me a hard time about that for a while. And I'm just really going to miss him giving me a hard time and me being able to dish it back to him. He was such a great guy and we had so much fun on the air and we're really going to miss him.
Jennifer Gilson, want to thank everybody on that end who was involved in sharing some of their favorite memories with Mike. And, of course, the relationship Mike had with his listeners and with the advertisers was paramount in help building what the Superstation was. And we noticed that from our perspective, but Sam, I'm really interested in, you know, what your perspective on, you know, what this building meant to your dad, what it meant to come up those stairs for him each and every single day.
Well, the amount of pride that he had in what he did was pretty amazing. You know, you guys talked about his preparations. He told me, he said, you know, as a radio announcer, you can start to talk, but you have to know where you're going to finish.
Yep.
Yeah.
You
yep.
have to know where you're going to finish it. And knowing that and hearing that, when you hear other announcers, you can spot the ones that weren't sure where they're going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to hear that and then be able to see what he was talking about and listen to that. But, you know, I didn't realize what impact that he had on this community. Because I left this community relatively early in his career. He was about 9 years in here at this building. And then to think, you know, almost 30 years later, I didn't realize the impact until we had his retirement party. And then I was like, wow, I mean, this is way more important than I ever knew.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really proud of that, you know, for him. I mean, that's a legacy that he can take with him. It doesn't matter how much money you have. When you leave this world, the only thing you get to take with you is your reputation.
Yeah, and his legacy, he endeared himself to these communities in the area. I mean, they became part of his life, and I think he was able to project that on his in his shift, you know, when he was on the air and doing sports, and he welcomed them into his world, and they welcomed him into their world.
You guys, if it's okay, I think I'd like to actually open up the phone lines right now. If there's a listener who maybe has a memory of Mike that they would like to share on the air right now, we would love to hear it. This has been awesome for us to reminisce from our perspective in the studio each and every single day, but it's really fun to hear about what it means to have us in your homes like Mike was for so many years. So if you have something you'd like to share, give us a shout right now, 218-631-1197, 1-800-247-K106. As we wait for the phones to ring.
Wheeler Dealer.
Wheeler Dealer, right. we can make that happen. As a matter of fact, let's just hop to it right now. Hey, who are we speaking with and where are you listening from?
I'm listening from Hewitt, Minnesota.
You know what? It's almost like this was scripted. This couldn't have worked out any better.
Marianne, how are you? Marianne, I know which story you're going to tell. When I drove you and Mike up to Pine River for a listener party, and I made you ride together in the back seat of my car.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I tell you what, I'm going to miss Mike. We had a lot of good times on the radio. On the listener parties, they were lots and lots of fun, and Mike always gave me a hard time. But you know what? If you can dish it out, you got to take it.
Exactly.
Right.
Marianne, thanks so much. That was great. That was awesome. I don't know that could have worked out any better. Boy, she just talking about Stalwart, she was as regular as on this morning show as sometimes it felt like I was as a co-host, Dan.
Right. Well, I remember Mike telling me, it wasn't that long ago, it was actually this summer, we were talking over at his house over on the other side of town, and he said, I remember coming here, he said, my plan was to stay here maybe a year, two at the most. And this is where he finished up, and like just alluding to what Dan said, he was, you know, just such a tremendous part of this global radio community, you know, throughout the area.
Brad, well, let's Kyle, we'll get to you. Let's take another one here because I think this is fun. Hey, who are we talking to? Where are you listening from?
Hey, this is Norm calling from the Wadena Deer Creek School.
Hey, Norm.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
Good. Doing great. What do you got?
Good. You know, I was just thinking about all the years in wrestling, and, you know, Mike, as I was a head coach, he was an elementary coach the whole time that I was here, and I just really appreciate all that he did there. But just remember when he took over for the legend, John Longy, and lots of times there were interviews after, and Mike was very good about talking to coaches after matches and stuff, and I just remember he was always so positive about the kids and positive about wrestling, and lots of times my whole team was out in the bus for seemed like a half hour by the time we got done with our interview, because Mike always kept that interview going, and sometimes I think the interviews were longer than the dual meet.
Thanks so much, Norm.
You bet. Yep.
Kyle was doing a interview one time when Rick Youngbauer grabbed the phone and hung it up.
That's right.
I was doing a post game from the state boys or girls basketball tournament or something like that, and nobody had told me that Rick had sold some live remotes or phone remotes or something like that. So I'm going doing my stats and going through it. All of a sudden, it's like, that's enough. Click.
Yep.
Actually, it was something different than that, but we can't talk about it.
You got another one, Corey?
I do have one more, as a matter of fact. Let's do this. Hi, who are we talking to, and where are you listening from?
Listening from Wadena, Aaron Ellingworth.
Hey, Aaron, what do you got for us?
Well, Mike never talked about it on air, but about, I'm 27 years old now, and about, I'd say 15 years ago, I went trick-or-treating at his house. And let's just say I jumped off the steps, and he still to this day thought it was my dad that told me to do that. And I think the candy went all over the floor, and I think he had to go change his underwear. So he'd never talked about that, but that's just a good one.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. We appreciate you calling in. Guys, we're getting close to having to wrap this hour up, and I guess first thing that I would like to say is a thank you for coming up here and sharing some memories. This has been a really special day, obviously a difficult past few weeks for us in this building with the news. But I've been looking forward to this day now for a long time, and I'm really happy that you were all able to be a part of it, because we've talked about the listeners, we've talked about clients, and your impact on Mike and his on yours is really special. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey. Yeah.
If I may, let's hand Sam another a microphone one more time.
All right,
Mike. Sam, I was clued in on something. That let me see if I can get this quote correct. You told Kyle, I believe yesterday, it's truly the fondest memory I have of my father's dedication to me as a child. And it's a certain song. I'm wondering if you can tell the story very quickly about this song. It's Highway 20 Ride by Zac Brown Band, and you know, what is it specifically about that and that memory?
Well, that memory stems from when my dad moved back to Minnesota from South Dakota, and he would drive down every Friday after he was done here and pick me up at my mom's place in Minneapolis, and we'd either go stay at his parents' place or his brother's place for the weekend, and then he'd drop me off and he'd come back here, and he did that almost every weekend until I eventually ended up moving in with him here in Wadena in 1987. So about almost 4 years of, you know, every weekend him making that trip. And at the time, I didn't really realize it, but it was an enormous amount of dedication for him to do that. I'm sure that, you know, he probably wanted to do other things on the weekend, but he did that. And it, you know, it's amazing now, you know, myself being a father, I look at that dedication and I don't know that I'm even as good a father as he was when it comes to that. You know, he always seemed to be there for one of his kids when they needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they didn't need him, he just stepped out of the way. But
when Sam texted me last night and asked if we could include this song, and I contacted Corey right away, one of the first things I did was I went online and looked at the lyrics. And I was like, wow, that's a special relationship between a father and son.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't really think about it until that song came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then just listening to the lyrics, it reminded me of those, you know, weekly trips that he would make. And it was really amazing to me. Granted, I didn't realize it when I was that age, but I do now, and I'm really thankful for that time.
Well, I thought I was going to get through the hour, but now I'm not. So,
Sam, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Mike Danvers, Mike Huber, Celebration of Life is this afternoon from 3 to 6 at the Maslowski Wellness and Research Center in Wadena. You're invited to attend. Please come out. Please share stories. As fun and cathartic as this has been for us, we certainly selfishly would like to be able to remember as much and as often as we can. We talked about the song. I feel like it's the most appropriate way to end this. Brad Williams, Dan Scogan, Dan Lawson, Kyle Gilsine, Sam Huber, Corey Tackman, thank you so much. It's Highway 20 Ride and Zach Brown Band. Rest in peace, Mike Danvers.
I ride east every other Friday, but if I had it my way, my day would not be wasted on this drive. And I want so bad to hold you, some of those things I haven't told you. Your mom and me couldn't get along, so I drive and I think about my life and wonder why that'll slowly die inside. Every time I turn that truck around right at the Georgia line, and I count the days and the miles back home to you on that Highway 20 ride. Day might come you'll realize that if you see through my eyes, there was no other way to work it out. And a part of you might hate me, but son, please don't mistake me for the man that didn't care at all. And I drive and I think about my life and wonder why that I slowly die inside. Every time I turn that truck around right at the Georgia line, and I count the days and the miles back home to you on that Highway 20 ride. And the years go flying by, I hope you smile if I ever cross your mind. It was a pleasure of my life,
and I cherished every time. And my whole world, it begins and ends with you on that high.